understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to The Drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the up. The Drive.
His mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yeah.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hey, text us, please, at 44-1140. Katie, I believe you have breaking news from the NBA.
Why does she get it?
I don't know. She said it first during the break.
Right. Larry Bird wastes no time in his press conference and automatically announces that Frank Vogel will not be having his contract renewed. Whoops. His services will not be retained as the head coach for the Pacers.
Well, so he wasn't fired.
Yeah.
Service is not retained.
Yeah, service is not retained.
What is that?
He got given the Rick Adelman, didn't he?
Kinda? Just kinda.
God, Larry is just direct and straight to the point.
Let me ask you this here. I mean, because we don't know what's going to happen, so I can't just sit here and make a blanket statement. This was a bad move. But, you know, just an idea of what Frank Vogel was able to do. You brought up that playoff team last year. Again, they were 38-44. They squeaked their way into the East. So no one's, like, handing out gold medals for that.
No.
But that team was led in minutes by Solomon Hill.
Yeah.
And Roy Hibbert, David West, Rodney Stuckey, and C.J. Miles. And he managed to get that team into the playoffs, albeit in a weak conference. Does that roster to you sound anything better than what the Kings put out this year?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
And here's the thing.
That unit was the eighth best defense in the league.
With Frank Vogel, he did a great job in Indiana, no doubt, with what he had. But I have no problem with them not renewing his contract. They want to go a different direction. And I think part of going a different direction is based on the fact that the league is going in a different direction. We just talked to Doug Christie about, Cleveland and their system. And we all know that the Warriors and I mean, it's becoming a very fast paced league. And Indiana is a great defensive team, but they also have to be able to score some points. So, okay, you've got the foundation for defense in place. Now bring someone in that offensively is going to ignite your team.
Isn't that what the Bulls did, though? And look at what they did this year.
Well, okay, I thought when you said the Bulls, I went back to Doug Collins.
Thibodeau the mayor.
Fred
Hoiberg.
Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah.
That was... Yeah, all the defensive stuff. But, I mean, it seemed like even when Noah was healthy, that was a team that was struggling to get over their prior identity. I mean, they brought in the offensive coach, and some of that kind of worked. But the stuff with Thibodeau didn't really stick around long enough. I think it's a mistake a lot of times because you're right, Katie. If you want to do something different, do something different. Be decisive about it. This is the right move. But I think you're getting into a tough spot. When you essentially say, hey, we've been good, but we can be better.
Isn't that exactly what the Houston Rockets did
in
November?
It's what the San Francisco 49ers did to Jim Harbaugh. It's what the Kings did to Rick Adelman.
So you're saying, okay, when you look at Indiana's roster and who they had available and their success, even though it was, not the success they wanted to have, okay, we keep them because, given the circumstances, did a pretty good job.
I would argue that his GM didn't do a great deal to help him out. I mean, other things that have happened, Lance Stephenson outplayed their ability to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to let him go. We talked about the Roy Hibbert thing. Danny Granger disappeared off the face of the earth. Frank Vogel has somehow managed to evolve through all these things. And there's been some help. But, I mean, that roster that I did, Solomon Hill leads your team in minutes on a playoff team?
So in your mind, as the Kings are looking for a new head coach, Frank Vogel is now available. Is that someone you reach out to right away?
And before we go down that road, I want to ask you, because you said that's what they did to Rick Adelman. You brought up a lot of examples of guys similar. Is it that? Is it that type of firing? Or is it more like Doug Collins leaving the Bulls and Phil Jackson taking over? Is it like Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr? Is this Larry Bird saying, we've gotten this. This is as far as I think you can take us. You've done a good job, but we want to win a championship, and we need the new voice to get us over the top.
Well, and he can't fire himself, but does this look like a roster to you that, you know, the one that pushed Toronto, managed to do pretty damn well for a seventh seed. Mm-hmm. Does this look like a roster that another coach could take to, I don't know, the finals?
Maybe I could count on one hand.
Okay. Not
the finals. Maybe.
And to me, it's Paul George and a bunch of dudes.
You're right. And this does a couple of things. Now to pick up, Katie, where you went. Number one, how it affects the Kings. First off is, this is now officially the hottest job on the market. To me, this is hotter than Houston. This is a bigger, you're in the Eastern Conference, it's more wide open, mm-hmm. and you don't have that crazy chemistry, toxic wasteland that you do in Houston. You have essentially four jobs open, or three and a half. You have Rambis and Blatt, by all reports, gunning for the New York Knicks job. They're leaning towards Rambis. You have Houston completely open now, Indiana and Sacramento. So the first way it affects is now guys like, for example, Nate McMillan, who I think immediately Nate McMillan and Kevin McHale are going to be the two names you're going to hear all day long, unless Larry Bird's about to officially hire Nate McMillan. You're going to hear McHale and McMillan's name, McHale and McMillan, both. That's going to be your names that you hear for the Indiana job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's two guys that the Kings have talked about interviewing. The other way, and Katie, this is where you were going that I think is more interesting. Does Frank Vogel now put himself directly in the mix?
Well, I mean, I think that's where we went initially. And
for the Kings.
We can't hear what's going on up here on ESPN, but we've got SportsCenter up. And funny how they're talking about Frank Vogel being fired, and that's the banner across, you know, that's the lower third across your TV. And they're playing a DeMarcus Cousins package behind it. So I think that everyone is going to that place right now. And maybe that's one of the things where a lot of people anticipated the fact that Vogel would not be retained in Indiana. And the Kings have been doing their due diligence and they've been interviewing a lot of people. But maybe they want to also talk to Frank. So they had to wait until that was official so that they could take a look at this guy.
Do you, if you're a Kings fan, or even if you're not, if you're just a Kings follower, does Frank Vogel now go to number one on your list? That simple. Is he now, of the people that are legit available, does he now rocket to the number one spot on your list of coaches? Because I want to make sure this isn't knee-jerk. The guy is successful and he's now available, therefore he should be the guy the Kings get. Well, okay, well, he was also just let go, too.
But here's the reality. If the Kings were to go and Vlade decides to hire a coach that has never had a head coaching job in the NBA, he would be criticized for that. But then you're also going to get criticized for saying, oh, well, Vinny Del Negro or Frank Vogel or whoever it's going to end up being, Mike Woodson. Oh, yeah, they've all been head coaches. And guess what? They were let go. They were fired. Yeah, that's basically how this job
works.
Yeah,
you're either going to get a new guy or a retread.
Either way, you're going to get criticism for it. So I said this the other day, and I stick to it. I think the best thing that Vlade is doing right now is not paying attention to any of the chatter. He's not letting it rush him into a decision. He's not going to say, oh, well, you know, everyone's talking about it's taking too long and we're talking to too many people. I better hurry up and make a decision. No, you got to make the right one.
Now, here's another interesting point, I think, about Vlade, who's been getting a ton of crap for interviewing all these people, taking so long, being too thorough. If Vlade ends up hiring Frank Vogel, does that story now switch and you go, wow, talk about a good poker player right there. He didn't know Vogel was going to be available. Maybe he sensed it. He took his time and his due diligence. Had he made a hire, what if he'd made a hire last week and Vogel becomes available right now? Mm-hmm. So Vlade was patient. He filled his time by interviewing everybody he could, knowing that as the playoffs shook out, there is a chance that they might shake out a talented coach that's not previously available. If he goes up and he ends up grabbing a Frank Vogel, there's going to be a lot of people, rightfully so, that say, hey, well played, Vlade.
This is exactly why you do that. This is exactly why you don't rush along those decisions. That's it. I would put him at the top of my list, but there's just a minor bit of apprehension that I have. There, even though the Pacers have never had, you never talk about like chemistry issues like we're dealing with in Houston, there have been stretches over the last couple of years where there have been whispers that that team has quit on Frank Vogel at times. And for a team that really isn't overwhelmed with crazy bad chemistry guys, I mean, Lance Stephenson's out the door. Paul George doesn't strike me as a particularly cantankerous type of personality, you know, but you're still hearing stuff like that. So if he can't hold their ears, and even Larry Bird said, I thought it was time for a new voice. I mean, you brought it up kind of speculating that, and that was the exact quote that came from him. We felt it was time for a new voice in our locker room. What makes you think he's going to get DeMarcus's attention?
It goes back to kind of the interview that we did with Caron Butler a little while ago when we were asking him about, you know, names that are in the hat for the head coaching job here. And one of them, of course, is Vinny Del Negro, who we now know is also going to be interviewing for that Houston job. And one of the things that really stuck out to me with what Caron said about Vinny was his ability to get guys to play for him. And that is maybe one of the best things that a head coaching candidate here for Sacramento can have, is guys that will get on board with him. And this is why you have 50 million coaches on your staff in the NBA, because whoever your head coach is, maybe they have their weaknesses, and every coach is going to have them, whether or not they know it and admit it and embrace it or not. That's the difference. You have to have that ability to get guys on board with you. Any of your other downfalls or what have you, you fill that with your assistants.
Somebody texted us on the old Drive Twitter at the Drive 1140 as to whether or not Byron Scott should get a look. Now,
tell you who'd thrive under Byron Scott is Rudy Gay.
No doubt about it.
all the isolations and mid-range jumpers you want, Rude, go get them.
Yeah.
That's what's interesting about Byron Scott, because you're a little grunt right there.
I don't think anything's interesting, but I'm curious to hear what you're going to say.
Well, I echo that grunt. Byron Scott does the opposite of excite me. But then I'm looking at Byron Scott's coaching record. His last 2 years with the Lakers, he won 20 and 25% of his games. His previous 3 years with a non-LeBron Cleveland Cavaliers, 29, 31, and 23%. Now, when you look at his time, his mainstay was two places. He had 5 years with the Hornets, and they were around 500 the first two. His first year, they were 18 and 64. That was horrible. He went 18, 38, 39, 56, and 49 wins with the Hornets. And then prior to that, he was with the Nets, 26, 52, 49, and then he was fired at 22 and 20. The Nets, that's when they were the Eastern Conference champions twice. So my question is this.
Are you saying that he's the broccoli of head coaching?
I'm saying
that all of this was 10 years ago, right?
Yes.
That's the big point.
You're right, but my question is he getting a little, I'm asking this, is he getting a little bit of an unfair shake because the last 5 years were with the LeBron-less horrible Cleveland Cavaliers and the last 2 years with the Kobe Bryant
Lakers? Does this guy have a bad reputation because he spent the last 5 years coaching crappy teams?
Horrifically crappy, terribly talented. Let me ask you this. Could anybody in your mind, you asked me this about Frank Vogel in Indiana, looking at, let's play the same question, looking at Cleveland and looking at the Lakers' record, do you feel like there are a lot of coaches out there that could have coached those teams to significantly better records based on those rosters?
Probably not, but the issue with the Lakers here was never their record. Nobody expected them to win games this year. It was the style in which they completely failed. He failed to integrate the new players. He failed to develop guys like D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle properly. He put a precedent on things like Kobe Bryant's retirement tour, which is cute, but you got a future to think about.
He didn't have a choice doing that. But that
it was a Kobe tour.
It was, and that was a challenge he was faced with. But guess what? The first year, I agree with you 100%. I don't think he did a great job in terms of developing and integrating those guys into the NBA. And like from his interview yesterday when he said that he was blindsided, he said, whoever, you know, like with Luke, what's your advice coming in? Well, these guys need someone to teach them the NBA so that they understand, because they don't know how right now. Well, dude, that has a lot to do with you. Like, regardless of the fact that they're young and they need to, you know, kind of learn the NBA as they go, he was notorious for not playing them. You have a horrible team with some veterans that are so, the tread is off of their tires. Yeah. And I'm not just talking about Kobe. You go the year before, they have some vets on that team that I'm like, why does he have these guys on the floor? They're not going to win with them. Why not develop your youth? So,
do we think that was all his call?
Yes.
I mean, we don't think the Buss family.
He's
and Kobe
still the
were
head coach.
I understand
man.
That.
I mean, so either way, he's bad. Like either it wasn't his choice and he just got walked all over, or it was,
and
he's
dumb.
Blindsided.
Let me put on my tinfoil hat. What if tinfoil hat here with ears? I totally get it. I'm just playing devil's advocate. What if the idea? What Byron Scott had a conversation with management before the year, Mitch Kupchak and everybody, and he said, "Hey, listen, dude. You know what we're trying to do. We're trying to build. We're gathering draft picks. We've got the young core. This is the Kobe year. We're making money this year. This is the Kobe retirement year. Bear with us. Let Kobe do his thing. We're going to make it right next year." Then at the end of the year, he says, "Yeah, I'm blindsided because I've suffered through this ass of a year, 2 years really, and then right when we're about to turn the corner, I get knocked off. I'm a guy who took the Nets to 2 Eastern Conference championships with Allen Iverson helped."
Yeah, but you look at that, and it goes back to what Nate was saying. That was like 10 years ago.
Sure.
Basketball has changed significantly since then.
That has been
Byron
the sticking
Scott
point.
Byron Scott has not.
Sure.
That's it. This is a guy who just 2 seasons ago said this about the 3-point shot. Quote, "I don't believe it wins championships. It gets you to the playoffs." And, I mean, and his teams, even this year, were notoriously reliant on mid-range. I mean, he just has struggled to embrace the X's and O's of the modern NBA.
He's so stubborn and bullheaded.
Yes, so beyond all of the things, the Kobe argument, playing time, whatever it is, the game has passed by Byron Scott. And not only are people noticing, but he is like actively displaying that to the world and brazenly saying, "I don't care, I can still win this way." Even though the last 5 years
even
says,
though you haven't,
bro,
yeah.
you cannot win this way.
So you think when he said he was blindsided, you think he was just being naive? Or do you think that's truly what he felt? Perhaps he had been told something different and wasn't. Because remember, by the way, Jeannie Buss came out.
And said
she was surprised. She was blind. That's the owner of the team, co-owner, that said she was surprised. So is it? I'm not making the Byron Scott case anymore. I was just devil's advocating there. But
this is a valid point, though.
When Byron Scott says I was blindsided, the first thing I thought, you thought, probably everybody thought, was okay, stupid. But if the owner of the team says she was blindsided, doesn't that kind of lend towards the conspiracy theory of maybe he was told he was going to get his full contract? Maybe he was told, dude, just suffer through the year.
And maybe a little bit of this had to do with the fact that Steve Kerr had a back injury and Luke Walton got the reins of a very, you know, very good team. And granted, I mean, it would take a complete dumbass to screw that up,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And he did a great job, but I think he opened a lot of eyes in the NBA, and it just happened to be this year, and maybe they were going to go with Byron Scott, but then they're like, you know what? Maybe we need to take a chance here and make a change.
Future is now. You guys want to know a little stat?
Would love to.
8 of the last 9 NBA champions led all playoff teams in 3-point attempts and makes. Not
bad.
Oh. 44.
Say that again one more time.
Say it again.
8 of the last 9 NBA champions led all playoff teams in 3-point attempts and makes.
So the one that didn't would be the Spurs?
Yeah. I don't know that for sure.
I'm assuming
probably.
That's the one.
From the text line at 441140, I would like to know, excuse me, from the 559 area code, I would like to know Katie's opinion on Horacek.
Hornacek.
Yeah, I know. It's just Hornacek. How it's spelled. They
Jeff
forgot
Hornacek,
the end.
Yeah.
It's a good thing there's not more than one of them.
Good point right there.
I like him a lot. I think that he's a good coach. I was surprised at what he did, not this past season, but the season before. That's when Phoenix surprised a lot of teams. He's offensive-minded. He's strong-willed. I think players like to play for him, but I don't know that he would be a good fit here. I don't know that he gets much consideration in this coaching search.
Hornacek's an anomaly. I don't know what he is.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
Is he super smart Suns guy, or is he I lost the locker room Suns guy?
That locker room.
I sure wouldn't be fired up if they said this afternoon that they hired him.
I wouldn't be like, man. But Katie, you were
in. It was his first head coaching job,
right.
So you don't have a lot to go on there. You don't have much of a history or a resume to go on. But, you know, I know I'm very connected with the Phoenix franchise.
Give your res. How long were you in Phoenix covering either that team or other teams? I mean, you spent a good amount of time there.
Yeah, 7 or 8 years.
Seven or eight years.
Yeah, and so I know a lot of the people inside the organization.
You also knew some members of the coaching staff very well.
Yeah, but it's funny. When you're on the inside, whether or not you're the equipment manager or one of the coaches, you know everything that's going on. And I had a conversation with someone that was not a coach. I'm not going to say who it was because I don't want to put him on blast.
Sure.
But I trust him very, very much. And I've known him since 2002. I mean, I met him when I first came into the WNBA. When I was talking to him when they were here about what was going on there, he goes, man, it looks really bad from the outside. And it looks like it's a coaching thing. And like Jeff has lost the locker room. But he goes, this group is a bunch of turds.
Yeah.
He's like, it's the players. And I tend to believe that because they made a decision when they let go of Isaiah Thomas and Goran Dragic, who I think is one of the most agreeable players in the league. Mm-hmm. He's not going to give you any problems or anything like that. He's going to go out and play his ass off for you and do exactly what you want him to. He wanted out of there.
Yep. And the nail in the coffin is, don't split up the twins, guys.
Right.
Eric
Bledsoe was the wrong decision.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a bizarre thing. There's a lot of holes there. But when you can trace a lot of your problems back to they split up a pair of twins, guys that are basically rotation players in the NBA, and it melts your locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Real quick before we go to break, he's been holding. I want to get to Russ. Russ, you're on the drive. Welcome in.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
Good. And Katie and Nate.
I'm
right, come on.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry to the other two, but honestly, there's one more name out there after last night, and I think it's going to be Coach Bud. I think he's going to be out there because
Mike Budenholzer of the Hawks?
Yeah, and I'm going to say this has been 2 years in a row now that, you know, I'm a Hawks fan, obviously, that I've seen that we've, you know, gone against these guys completely unprepared. And with listening to Doug Christie earlier about getting that San Antonio system in Sacramento, I think Bud's actually the guy because I feel like, you know, the team plays for him, but, you know, I just feel like Cleveland just got our number, and it's obviously, you know, on every player's face out there that, you know, we're just not going to compete in this series. And I think, you know, like you say, a fresh voice, a guy like DeMarcus might listen to Coach Bud.
Well, that would be great. I would love that. But here, I mean,
I don't know about that.
Yeah, we can't judge Atlanta too harshly this season or any season because number one, they lack star power.
Yes, they've done extremely well with no superstars.
Exactly, and Kyle Korver's hurt right now.
Yeah.
He played 20 minutes last night. Yeah. They are not going to be as good of a team if you can't have him on the floor for 30 plus minutes. Yeah. He's just that valuable.
We'll take a break when we get back. We got a lot of news to get to, just a bunch of random stuff, including now, Nate, I know you've been begging to do this for a long time.
I have.
Yeah, you can now eat James Harden's beard.
Perfect. Like cotton candy.
We'll tell you how, almost, actually. Oh. We'll tell you how, and then we'll also give you the word for the hour and the 10K a day giveaway. It's the drive at Sports 1140 KHDK. That was excellent. That was fantastic. Now we're trying to transfer in. Are we going to transfer into the music? No, we're just going to go? Okay, how about this? Pull the curtain back for a second before we continue. Something just died on the board right in the middle of all that. So bear with. Katie, is your mic still working?
That it is,
all right,
David.
You want let me tell you about the Susan G. Komen Sacramento 20th annual race for the Cure. It's this Saturday, May 7th at Cal Expo. Hey, help us move one step closer to a world without breast cancer. And please register now at KomenSacramento.com. Also, let's give you the word of the hour, the 10K a day giveaway. I'm not even going to screw around with the question. It's text. As in text it to 80787, not 441140. So this will be weird.
You've done so many things with that.
I know. But with the, you know, I feel sad for Nate because he always looks forward to his 8:30 update more than anything. That's like he'll come in and be like, I can't
wait. The coup de grace, right?
I can't wait for the 8:30 update. It's my favorite update of the day. And then the board did something. And
text
to 80787. Or enter online at khdk.com by the end of the hour. Message and data rates may apply. Hey, we'll text you back to confirm your entry. And one randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. That's a lot of money. All entries will also qualify for a $25,000 grand prize. Are you back?
Not yet. Need a second. I've been banished.
Nate's mic is still not working. You want to come over? You can come over and share my mic if you want. All right.
No.
Let's get Nate's reaction to some of these stories that I've gathered here real quick just for your listening pleasure. If Katie wasn't here, I would be doing these stories with the Peanuts theme behind it. But with everything going on right now, hey Matt, I know you're on the phone. Could you pot this down a little for just a little? There we go. That's fine. You all right with that, Katie?
Yes.
Okay, your mic works.
You can have your mic. I'll yell.
James Harden's partnership with Trolley Candies was already pretty weird, but now we're getting special edition gummies.
Easy. All right. Yeah. I'm back.
We're hey, good. Nate, good year, good. Everybody.
Just in time hey. To save a potential misstep with your mouth.
Now we're getting special edition gummies called Weird Beards, which are candies that look exactly like James Harden's face and
no,
beard.
No, thank you.
You ever wanted to eat James Harden's beard? And really, haven't we all?
Like every single Kardashian at this point.
You can now do it with absolutely no, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad about it. Just go to the Trolley website. Mm-hmm. If you could pick an athlete to be a gummy candy, who would it be? 339-1140.
I don't know. What is it that DeMar, is he a Sour Patch Kid?
Yes.
Yeah. That's his big thing,
when
right?
I went over to his, I'm old school. You go to somebody's house for the first time, you bring something.
Something.
What, you can't have, what is it with
it,
you and the bed music?
It's insane.
It's radio, bed music for funky, dumb segments like this.
Well, that's our whole show.
I mean, I drop it, but I'm almost like you have to wean you into it or something.
Okay.
We couldn't hear the Larry Bird, but apparently he said this when asked about Kevin McHale coming to the Indiana Pacers. He said, quote, "Kevin McHale won't be a candidate. I would not do that to Kevin. I have to have him work for me. That's not fair. I respect him too much."
That's awesome.
So does
that's
that,
great.
Does that automatically awesome. Send a message to anybody that is interviewing for that job that, hey, maybe you don't want to do that?
That's a good friend is what it
it's
is.
A hell of a friend.
Like that. I mean, that's like a genuinely good human being move to be like, listen, bro, I like you too much. We should not work together.
Wow.
I want both of you to, we've often said that to each other. The top, there are 20 horses that are running. All right, I'll kill the music just for you, Katie. I know
Thank
it's
you.
Bothering you. There are plus, I can't play two sounds at once.
Right, you got the horse noise.
Yeah, there are 20 horses that are running this this weekend's Kentucky Derby.
Isn't the favorite, like...
Well, I'm going to name the names.
Favorite is Grant Napier.
And I want you to... Have you heard Grant Napier call the Derby?
I was responsible for
Were
that.
Were you? Okay.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite Napier bits. Have you heard both the radio-friendly version and the not radio-friendly version?
Wait, are we talking about two different things?
I think we are.
Yeah.
No, you're talking about, and I, dang it, the sound is somewhere. When Nate ran the board many, many years ago, and, oh, God, the sound still lives, doesn't
it? Has,
it?
Yeah, it's
Matt,
somewhere.
Matt, do you know where it is? Nah, you know, that's okay. If you don't worry about it. We have it recorded somewhere. Nate was running the board over the weekend, and if you're familiar with Kentucky Derby coverage, whether you're a fan or not, there's like 3 hours of coverage for a 2.5 minute race.
It's ridiculous.
So Nate, take the baton from me. You're through about 2 hours and 57 minutes. What happens next?
Well, at the time, and like, here's the worst part about it, is that I did that job distracted forever and never had problems. Like, I would run A's games, I would come in, I would bring my Xbox, I would play video games.
Sure.
Never, ever had a problem. Never missed a break, a legal ID, you name it. Perfection. The one time I don't do that, I was prepping for a weekend show because Keith Brooks was just starting to be on. He hadn't started a morning show or anything. He was doing a weekend show and I was working with him. So I was doing some prep for that, and they give you out cues on those things. So you know whether it's a local break or a network break. And the cue for our commercial was, you know, on the horse racing radio network, whatever. So I'm sitting there fiddling, got it on in the background, whatever. And I hear the guy say, "The horse racing radio network." It's like, oh, crap. So I go to hit the break, whatever. A couple minutes pass by. I come back to
now,
the show.
Let me interject. Now, when you heard what he was actually doing, was he was saying, you know, like probably something like, and here we go on the horse racing, whatever the hell network.
Exactly. Right. So a couple minutes pass. Again, I'm still not listening, but I'd come back from the break and the text line starts popping up. Like, dude, what happened to the Derby? Dude, what? And and that's when it's starting to click with me. And so I went back and listened to it. And sure enough, what you hear is, and the so-and-so running of the Kentucky Derby, they're off on the horse racing radio network.
This is Glenn Napier for the Diamond and Gold Vault.
And you know how long a horse race lasts?
About two and a half, 3 minutes?
No, about 60 seconds, because that's how long the spot was. And when we came back, the race was over.
Wow.
Missed the whole thing.
Well done.
The only reason I still have a job is because my only job was to play the spots. So I was like, well, at least you didn't miss the spots.
Yeah.
There were people listening for 2.5 hours outside.
Months later, I'm playing golf at Ansel Hoffman. I'm by myself. I get paired up with just a random guy. We make it through about the 14th hole, and we start talking about, you know, what do you do for a living? He's like, oh, I work at KHDK. Oh, man. You know, I tell you, the weirdest thing happened a couple months ago. I was listening to the Kentucky Derby. I'm like, I'm going to stop you right there.
That was me.
That was me.
Oh, Nate.
A dozen eggs, a quart of milk, a loaf of bread.
Here's the horses.
Got the money. Yeah, get the horses.
Please, please pick your favorite. Creator, Majesto, Lonnie, Mo Tom, Tom's Ready.
There you go.
Brody's Cause, My Man Sam, Exaggerator, More Spirit.
Wasn't Exaggerator something that Charlie Sheen threw in Major League 2? Wasn't that one of his pitches? The Exaggerator, the Terminator.
That might have been in the sequel. Oscar nominated, Outwork.
I slipped on that too.
Destin, Whitmore, Trojan Nation. Now that could be awesome.
I'm totally going with that.
There's a bunch of people inside of it.
Or maybe it's the safest horse in the world.
Electronically tested.
You're looking for this. Because, you know, Trojan, it's a... Katie, I don't know if you know this. It's a brand of condom.
Contraceptive.
Yeah, it's contraceptive.
Prophylacticos.
Yeah. Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's what they are. Mohaman means dominant in Arabic.
Mohaman, brother of John.
Better than Les Haman. There's a joke there, and I'm not going there. Just let that hang. Shagaf, which it's S-H-A-G-A-F. It doesn't mean anything. Shagaf? Shagaf?
All right.
Isn't that the Russian guy in Street Fighter 2? The video? That was Zangief. Sudden Breaking News.
Is that no, it's not a horse.
No, that's a horse.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's a horse. And finally, Nyquist.
Huh?
Named after a Detroit Red Wing.
Wedwing. Wedwing. Oh, my gosh.
The worst segment ever. And Gunrunner. How about Gunrunner?
I'm going with the Trojan horse.
Yeah, I think you got to go with...
What is that one?
That's it's
Trojan Pride?
Trojan Nation.
Trojan Nation.
Or maybe like the Les Hyman.
No. Mohaman.
Mohaman.
Really close, though.
Mohaman sounds like a 1920s comedian.
You're thinking of Moraka.
Moraka. Maybe he's one of the Three Stooges.
Oh, my goodness.
Curly and Mohaman.
Mohaman.
Oh, my goodness.
Curly Hayman.
Our poor board op, Matt. Please break. Please get out of this.
We'll just wrap up when we come back. It's no tease. It's the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
No tease.
I don't think this qualifies either, but we'll take it. It's Dave, Katie, and Nate. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
Song feels like it was written by someone named Tommy Bahama, doesn't it?
It just sounds colorful, doesn't it?
Very Tomish Bahamish. Cinco de Mayo, which is Spanish, by the way, for May 5th.
Five of mayonnaise.
Or literally the 5th of May. It's a celebration held on May 5th. Hey. The date is observed to commemorate the Mexican Army's unlikely victory over French forces at the Battle of Puebla on May 5th, 1862, under the leadership of General Ignacio Zaragoza. In the United States, Cinco de Mayo is sometimes mistaken to be Mexico's Independence Day, the most important national holiday. Hey, whatever. Doug Christie said attitudinal.
Attitudinal.
I wrote it down. Attitudinal.
Important. Attitudinal is the word he's looking for, right?
Yeah, I guess. It's the most important national holiday in Mexico, which is celebrated actually on September 16th. Now, all day we've been playing with Katie. We've been making up reasons as to why people celebrate Cinco de Mayo. A lot of people mistake it. Katie, was that the truth or was that false?
I wasn't listening to you.
It's the truth. That's the one.
That was the real one.
Of course it's the one, because we're in our
last segment. You can't come back
segment.
And say, you had Dave, a chance to answer. You said you weren't listening.
Of course it's the one. Jeez. What do you take me for? Some kind of a rube?
Hey, before we continue, let's listen to the Kentucky Derby right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Looks like Vijak's walking up to the gate right now.
Vijak moving forward. We're ready. Kentucky Derby 139, a race for destiny. Mark Johnson with a call on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're off.
This is Grant Napier for the Diamond and Gold Bowl.
It's so stupid. Radio Network. God, I mean, you can.
They're off.
This is Grant Napier for the Diamond and Gold Bowl. They're a little challenged.
That's so great.
And they're off.
And they're off.
This is Grant Napier for the Diamond and Gold Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
It's quite possibly the greatest moment in the history of KHTK, and it was Nate Goodyear. God bless you.
I wear it. What are you going to do?
And they're off.
This is Grant Napier for the... This is Grant Napier.
Stop it now.
For a second, like a while back, we did that over like all kinds of famous calls, like Kirk Gibson's home run against the A's. High and deep, and it is. This is Grant Napier.
Bigger drinking holiday, Cinco de Mayo or St. Patrick's Day?
I would say St. Patrick's.
St. Patrick's holiday?
Yes, yeah, sorry.
And they're off.
Katie, you have a Johnny Manziel tweet.
Oh my gosh! As if you could get any further into the abyss of his just extreme stupidity. Obviously, he was in court this morning because of the arrest with physically assaulting his ex girlfriend. I believe that was back in January, and then he tweets out today. And quickly deletes because apparently there is still a brain cell left
Someone's
in his head.
Someone's paying attention to him.
Just thankful I had a shirt this time, .. Of course, referring to his mugshot in which he is smiling like an idiot.
LOLs.
But it was back in 2012. when he was a redshirt at Texas A&M and he was arrested and for carrying a fake ID and some kind of Mortal Kombat thing was, I don't know, but he was shirtless in that.
John.
So obviously he thinks he's quite funny.
LOLs. Crying smiles emoji.
Oh, I mean, come on, John.
Keeping it 100.
You know, at this point, it's just, and his lawyer, of course, tweets out, or a quote from his lawyer was tweeted out a little bit ago saying he's very much intending on playing in the NFL this upcoming season, but I'll leave that up to him. Yeah, your job, and you're going to get paid handsomely for it, because guess what? When you're Johnny Manziel's lawyer, you're always going to be needed.
It's like being an accountant, right?
Yes.
Someone's going to need you.
Someone's going to need you at some point. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Be the 11th caller, and you can win two tickets to see the Fighter and the Kid podcast live at the Calusa Casino this Friday at 8 p.m.
This is Grant Napier.
Featuring UFC heavyweight Brendan Schaub and actor comedian Brian Callen, who you guys visited with yesterday, by the way. It's uncut. It's unedited. And, it's hilarious, just like yesterday. Come enjoy a night of great, great laughs. What did you look at each other for? Come enjoy a night of great, great laughs. Get your tickets now at CalusaCasino.com. Also want to remind you, before we leave, please do join Sports 1140 for Susan G. Komen Sacramento's 20th Annual Race for the Cure this Saturday, May 7th at Cal Expo. Help us move one step closer to a world without breast cancer. Register now at KomenSacramento.com. Hey, the lowdown, almost said the midday show, they're the lowdown now with D'Lo and the Jason Ross and the Ken Rudolph. They'll be covering everything all day long, including Frank Vogel being not renewed, not fired.
Not renewed.
Not renewed by old Lawrence Bird. And now we get to see who the heck shows up in Indiana and how that affects us here in Sacramento.
And apparently it's not going to be Kevin McHale.
This is Grant Napier.
It's not going to be Kevin McHale.
Which I think the Kings and the Pacers have in common.
He withdrew. McHale withdrew today.
So, yes, he did.
All right, for Nate Goodyear, for Katie Christensen, I'm Carmichael Dave. Thanks so much for listening, guys and girls. We'll be back at 6 a.m. with the big, giant Friday edition of The Drive. Stay tuned. Jim Rome's next on Sports 1140 KHTK.
And they're off.
This is Grant Nate.